Excited. I'm halfway over to her house, and my nose has already frozen off my face, thank you very much. This is one of those crappy, almost winter days, where the sky is the color of oatmeal, and the ground is frozen white. Not even any snow to give it character. Just cold and suicide-inducing. My dad, the vampire, likes to say, "This weather, it punishes you." And he's right. You do get the feeling you're getting punished for something. But what? Maybe punished for living in such a crappy place and not doing anything about it. That's what. Let's talk depressing. This stucco apartment building might as well have a sign out front reading, "We kind of blew it." I mean, anybody who isn't in college or going through a horrible divorce has got to be feeling pretty lame calling this place home. It doesn't help that there's a Burger King right across the street. I mean, the whole place smells like cheeseburgers. When I get to the door, I decide this is a stupid idea anyway, and I'm leaving. What if she's not home, and her mean mom answers? I can't give her the money. She'll probably just spend it on stuff to make her meaner. Whatever that is. I guess I'd be grumpy, too, if I had to live in this shit basket. The door opens before I even knock, and it's Tiffany. She stands there looking at me, and it's like she's shrinking somehow right before my eyes. Hey. I know. I have a way with words. Hey. Still shrinking. Listen, hey, can I come in? It's kinda cold. Really? Oh, I get it. Tiffany doesn't want me to see this place. That I understand. I didn't really want Jared to see my place either, not after seeing that library with nautical oil paintings. Yeah, I mean, it's kinda like freezing out here. Okay. I step in, and it's not all that bad, actually. I mean, it's not like you could eat off the floor, like our house. The corners are grimy, but there's an effort at sweeping and dusting that ends up somewhere between, yeah, that's enough, and who cares anyway. So far, no sign of Mom. Thank God. So, I felt kind of bad that, you got busted, so... I know, it was stupid. I don't know what... No, you don't have to say you're sorry. No, I am. Oh my God. Am I gonna tell her? She could so bust me if I do. And Shelley. Mr. Baum would press charges, too. $1,236.50 worth of charges. Probably more for his wounded pride. And the fact he's short. And fat. And that I've been poisoning him. Look, Tiffany. We stole, too. What? Oh, Lord. Tiffany looks like I just told her aliens landed in Topeka. This is gonna suck. Please, God, don't let her tell on me. Yeah, we did. I had a whole system. But why? 'Cause I'm an idiot. But you're rich. I guess not rich enough? She and I just stand there looking at each other. Maybe it dawns on both of us that you can never be rich enough. Maybe that's the problem. Look, we were idiots. Shelley, too? Yeah. But her mom's a Christian. Exactly. Tiffany smiles. Look, there's just no reason why. I'm kind of a shitty person. I guess that's why. No, you're not. You saved my ass. Well, maybe, but mostly just because I felt guilty. Anyway, here. I hand Tiffany the money, wrapped up in a Bunza Hut wrapper. She looks inside and then looks closer and closer, and her eyes are practically popping out. Right into that Bunza Hut wrapper, where we could serve them up with fries. Holy shit! I know. It's a lot. How did you... I shrug. We had a system. Tiffany looks at me. I can tell her opinion of me is changing rapidly by the millisecond. I thought you were perfect. No? Well, you're pretty clever. Maybe that's it. Thanks. When I was little, they thought I was retarded, and then they tested me, and I had, like, a high IQ, so I'm kind of like a smart retard.
How much is here?
Like, about $1,236.50? But who's counting? Tiffany looks around. God, I hope her mother's not home.
I can't take this.
Yes, you can, and you will. You have to. I can't live with myself if you don't. I really can't.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Well, what am I supposed to do with it?
Don't give it to your mom, that's for sure.
No shit.
She and I have a moment of silence. What do you do with money? Everybody's so crazy about it, but then, once you get it, what do you do with it? Hug it? Maybe put it in the bank or something?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks. Thank you so much.
No, don't. I'm a jerk. Don't thank me.
Did you give this to me because you feel sorry for me?
I don't think so.
Good.
We hear someone's feet on the stairs outside, and both of us freeze in fear. Please don't let it be her mom. Please don't let it be her mom. Okay, I better go. Call me or come by whenever. I'm around.
Yeah, I will. I'll call you.
And I know when I'm shuffling down those stairs, past the stucco and wrought iron gates, I know she'll never call. I know she'll never call and never come by. Ever again. 44. So far today, the sun is playing a trick where it's shining so bright, it looks like it's supposed to be 70 degrees, but then you go outside and it's 30. It's almost the end of the week. Thursday, the best day. All the anticipation of the weekend, but none of the dread. I've pretty much been skipping out on everybody, including Shelley, taking different routes to class. I don't know. I just don't really seem to know what to do about anything anymore, so I'm hiding. If I could turn the ceiling into a blanket and crawl under it, I would. We're on 70s installations, in stoner art teacher's class, and so far, all I've got is a bright white diorama shoebox and no clue what to do with it. I guess the general idea is you're just supposed to create a space where everybody walks in and has an emotional reaction. I resolve to make a space where everybody walks in and is terrified. Mostly right now, my brilliant idea is sitting somewhere inside my head, hiding from me. And the only way to get it out seems to be to sit here and stare out the window. Praise Jesus. The alarm bell goes off, and once again we are all shuffled off outside into the freezing cold, and everyone is looking at me expectantly. What? I didn't do it. Just like last time, we wait, stare at each other, make chit-chat, watch our breath come out in dragon puffs, and go back inside, finally, before we are all taken to the hospital for hypothermia.
I guess I won't have to work too hard to think of an installation, because once we get back inside, there's, an installation.
This is what it is. The entire room is filled with, teeming with, butterflies. And not just any old butterflies, but the most beautiful butterflies you've ever seen. Bright blue butterflies, almost purple in the light, flying all over the place, catching the bright blue light in their wings. Hundreds of them. Just so you know, I've heard of this before. My mom said my aunt did this at her wedding out in Berkeley, where everybody's a socialist, but kind of a hippie, but kind of rich, too, and interested in butterfly extravaganzas, I guess. She said they released these butterfly packets after the ceremony, and everybody sighed and whistled, but then all the butterflies immediately died, and it was really awkward and sort of depressing. But these butterflies aren't dying. In fact, they seem to be thriving in this artistic environment. Now, of course, everyone is freaking out. There are oohs and ahs and dudes and no ways, and the Heshers are tripping out. Some of the girls are actually scared of the butterflies or something, or maybe they're just pretending to get attention. Yep, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, since when are butterflies scary? If you were going to make a movie about a rabid butterfly, everyone would just laugh in your face. Although, I guess this imaginary scenario would take place in Hollywood, so who knows what would happen. Maybe they would just laugh in your face and do a line of coke off the nearest starlet. Note to self, never go to Hollywood. P.S. Everyone is looking at me. I guess this qualifies as a successful installation. My white shoebox diorama is still at my workstation, and there's no amazing painting there to replace it or anything, so I am officially off the hook for this.
But that doesn't mean that this isn't 100%, completely, a zillion percent, the work of Logan McDonough. If there was any doubt, I notice there's a little fake blue butterfly pinned to the side of my Trapper Keeper. I know this because there has never before been a little fake blue butterfly pinned to the side of my Trapper Keeper. And if you think this makes me fall totally, completely in love with Logan, well, you are wrong. I refuse to do it, no matter what. So just stop it. Also, if you think that I have been sitting around missing Logan and wishing that I'd turn the corner and see him hiding in the bushes, and then he'd just come up and grab me and knock my socks off with a kiss that erases everything that happened, and this weird Jared voodoo spell would be lifted, well, that's not true either. I swear. Stoner art teacher turns to me.
Annika, was this your project?
I know, I know. I am supposed to be a good person and always say please and thank you and never say anything mean and always tell the truth. I pause and then... Do I get an A? 45. Bet you're wondering what I'm gonna do about Logan now, huh? Well, you're not the only one. Seriously, this is not how I thought this was gonna play out. Like, at all. How was I supposed to know that out of nowhere this seeming Prince Charming in a Led Zeppelin t-shirt who everybody worships was gonna come at me with all guns blazing? It doesn't help that everybody thinks Jared is a super god and Logan is a super dork, even though he's kind of like an artistic genius, maybe. I know, I know. I shouldn't care about the dork part. Why should I? But the truth is, I do. Like... I really do. Let's just call it like it is. No need to pretty it up. I care what other people think of me. I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm just a girl in the world. Also, I won't even speak about... You know, that guy at the boathouse was a whiskey breath scuzz bucket who was probably going to kidnap me and bury me alive in his trailer park. And Logan has set off not one but two, count 'em, two... fire alarms to impress me. Although, to be quite honest, I'm not sure if that fake fire alarm thing puts him in the crazy column or the genius column. Jury's out. I mean, listen, the whole thing just swirls around and around in my head and never lands. It's maddening. All of this is why I went to bed early tonight, locked myself inside my room so I could just stare at the ceiling and ask God what in the world to do. I know a lot of people think that whole God thing is a joke, but I just get a feeling he's up there somewhere. There's too many things for him not to be. Like, for instance, everything. Like, where did it all come from? Of course, there was a Big Bang. No shit. But what was before that? Who made the Big Bang in the first place? Anybody ever wonder about that part? Look, he's there, and I just know it. Anybody who thinks we are the most intelligent life in the universe has obviously never been to Nebraska. Trust me. My mom got me this nightlight thingy that projects the cow jumping over the moon, spinning around in little circles above me on the ceiling. Happy, smiling stars surround the moon, and it plays a little lullaby, which I turned down. But I did realize at some point, this is a nightlight for babies. I guess my mom thinks I need a lot of coddling. Maybe she's right. If I don't have the nightlight, I can't get to sleep. Like, ever. It's like a curse if I don't have it, and it's a sign of certain doom. We left it once when we went to visit my aunt, and my mom had to drive back and get it, because I couldn't sleep for like 2 days. Again, this is the part where everybody in the family refers to me as special. It's not a compliment. It means there's a screw loose. So right now, I'm just staring at the cow jumping over the moon and wondering what I'm going to say to Logan. I was thinking I could say something like this. Logan, I'm an idiot. I don't know what to do, but you should probably stay away from me because I'm confused and have no self-esteem and, also, I think you might be a sociopath. But look, you are amazing and cool, and sometimes I think about shrinking myself down and fitting myself into your pocket so I can live there forever, But then I worry that maybe you are not exactly playing with a full deck, and you might turn on me and take me out of your pocket and squash me like a bug next to the boathouse. That's what I've got so far. I also was thinking I could try to say it with flowers. That thought, which makes no sense, is running through my head when there's a thud on my window, right above my head. Then another thud. Then another. If the ogre hears that, I'm gonna get it. So I look out the window, and there he is, through the trees from below. Logan, standing under my window like some Maud Romeo. Guess I won't be saying it with flowers. The window creaks when I open it. Not good. This whole thing could lead to at least a 2-week grounding if the ogre wakes up. Logan!
Shh! What the? Okay, I know you're mad at me. I get it, but I want to show you something.
I can't. Are you kidding?
We're both whisper screaming at each other. All I can think is that this is the worst possible way to break up with somebody.
Come on. Please? It's super cool. Seriously.
No, I can't. I can't risk it. Let me call you tomorrow.
Pretty please?
No.
No. Annika, come on. Seriously.
Ugh. I'm really gonna have to do this, aren't I? Like right now, in the middle of the night, through a freezing cold window.
Logan, just let me call you later when...
And now there's a moment when something in the air changes. All the puppy love turns prickly, and Logan straightens up.
What the fuck, Annika?
What?
But of course, I know what he means. I'm blowing him off. I'm blowing him off because he did that psycho thing, and even though he did all that other cool stuff, it doesn't matter now, 'cause Jared Klein has swept me off my feet, and even though I feel bad and feel like I've led him on, and we did have all that romance and fake fire alarms and sneaky moped rides, even though it felt, for a little while, like we were in our own private movie, now all that is changed. All that is changed, and he didn't know it, and now he knows it, and he's fucking bummed. And he's looking up at me like a sinking ship.
Logan, it's just... I just... Well, I think we should slow down or something.
Slow down? You mean stop. You mean stop, and he knows it, and you know it, and he'll really know it any day now, 'cause practically everybody knows that you're Jared Klein's girlfriend.
What? What do you... What the fuck, Annika?
Logan?
What? The boathouse? Is that it? Look, I told you, I lost it, but I was protecting you.
I know, it's just, I don't know what to say, I...
Okay, I'll say it. How about I say it for you? You're a coward. How about that? You're a fucking coward who can't stand up to your dumb friends.
And he's right, in a way. He is. No, it's just...
Annika, I get it. All right, I fucking get it.
He starts to walk away. Now the cold air is sweeping in, and I can't tell if it's the cold air or me that's making my eyes water. Must be the air. I can't care about this. I can't. He turns around.
Just so you know, I fucking loved you. I fucking loved the daylights out of you.
And now the tears slide down, and he's off, through the trees and down the sidewalk. And now I'm sitting there, closing the window and staring into my reflection. And I don't mind telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like what I see. 46. The next day something happens that I'd like to call the greatest moment ever told. Keep in mind that my whole life I've kind of like been a second-class citizen in this place. You know, it's always been like a feeling of don't get too ahead of yourself or... Know your place. You're not one of us. That's really what it's always been underneath. So this day here, is basically a moment I never thought was reserved for a girl like me. This is a moment for Becky or Shelley, or someone else with a normal last name. Not a freak with a vampire dad and a name you have to say 3 times before anybody gets it. The sun decided to make a comeback after school, so this is one of those fall crisp days where the sky is the color of a bright blue marble and you can walk outside without seeing your breath. Becky and Shelley are walking ahead, and I'm behind Shelley like a poodle, but there's something up ahead, and I know it's big, because when we walk out, there might as well be a record scratch. It's like crickets out here, not a sound. Even though there's a zillion people, and even though they are seeming to part like the Red Sea, leaving Becky, Shelley, and me in the middle like Moses. Except now Becky and Shelley step aside, and it's just me. Now I'm Moses, and Shelley whispers something. I think she's whispering to me, but I can't hear it. And Becky whispers something, and I think that's for me too, but I can't hear. I can't hear, because all I can do is see, and all I can see is Jared Klein. He's standing there, leaning against his Jeep like Elvis, and he's looking at me. He smiles when he sees me, like the cat that ate the canary, and then ate all the canary's little brothers and sisters, and the canary's grandma, too. He's smiling the only way you get to smile if you've got every single person in the town, county, state, in love with you. And everyone you've ever even thought about is out here to witness. Jenny Schnittgrund, Chip Ryder, Stacy Nolan, Joel Soren, Charlie Russell, the whole ensemble. But you should see Becky. It's like she's having an allergic reaction. It's like she's about to break out in hives. She can't believe it. Right in front of her face, it's happening. But she can't believe it's happening, and doesn't want to believe it's happening, and is terrified because she knows it is. But there's something else in it, too. A calculation. And as Jared Klein comes up the steps, yes, folks, comes up the steps to meet me and kiss me on the cheek in front of everybody and grab my books out of my hands in front of everybody, Becky leans in and gives me a whisper. We should hang out more. Seriously, that's the best she's got. Just an obvious, unabashed change of tune. No more half-breed. No more immigrant. Just a desperate, pathetic, shameless attempt. We should hang out more. Yes, Becky, we should hang out more. You should hang out with a half-breed immigrant like me and tell me what to do more. And then there is Shelley. I don't even have to look at her, but I can feel it. She's like a proud parent or something. She's practically leaping out of her dress. But now there is no such thing as Becky and Shelley. Now there is only Jared Klein. Now there is only walking down the steps with Jared Klein carrying my books. Now there is only Jared Klein opening the passenger side and making a gesture like he's some knight or something. Now there is only Jared Klein hopping in the driver's side and gunning the engine and driving off like we might as well be flying into space. And what about the rear view? In the rear view, the entirety of Pound High School is a student body of open mouths, and front and center, jaw dropped, is Becky Vilhauer. 47. Most people don't know this, but all you have to do is drive due east from Lincoln, and you get into the area, out in the sticks, where it's all rolling hills and mud and dirt roads, with a farmhouse every once in a while. It's the kind of place where you better not get lost, or lose a tire, because that means a lot of walking for you, and maybe getting picked up by a serial killer who will put you in the basement and try to eat your kidneys. Driving up and down these rolling hills with Jared Klein, you could almost get dizzy. It's just up, 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 and down, 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 and up again. It's like being on a roller coaster made of dirt and starting to freeze over. Jared stops the Jeep in no particular place. Like, he literally stops the Jeep in the middle of the hill. Now, there's not a car around for miles, I get it. But still, he doesn't even pull off the side of the road or anything. So, why are we stopped here? None of this bodes well. Maybe we shouldn't stop in the middle of the road or something? I hear my voice, and it sounds like it's made of tin. Not my voice at all. Someone else's voice.
someone small.
Oh, come on. There's no one around.
But, I mean, I thought you were going to show me someplace special.
Jared nods. He gestures out the window at the rolling hills and panoramic postcard view.
You don't think this is special?
I guess.
Oh, come on. What's the matter? Is something the matter?
There are about 100 things the matter. I don't know. There's this girl at work. She got fired. Why I chose that one is beyond me. It just came flying out, and now I guess that's the topic of conversation here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah?
He feigns interest. Yeah, I guess I'm bummed, 'cause it wasn't fair. Like, it was really mean, actually.
Silence.
You know what I mean? Like, I just felt guilty.
Jared shrugs.
What's the point of feeling guilty?
What?
I mean, it doesn't seem like it's helping, does it?
I don't know.
Listen, it's not your fault, right?
So, forget it. He shrugs again. God, this guy can really shrug. But he's quiet and bored and seems like a stranger all of a sudden. Like, what happened to that grandiose-type gesture he just made in front of everybody at school? This makes no sense. He makes no sense. It's like he switched gears in, like, 2 seconds. Without warning. Like he turned from Prince Charming into a wet noodle. You know, I probably should get going home. My mom will be worried about me.
Come on. You can stay out a little while.
And now he's getting closer. He's giving me this smoldery look like we're in some kind of soap opera.
Aha! This is the Jared everybody told me about. The make-out bandit. The scam artist that I knew I shouldn't trust. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, in all his scam artist glory.
Wait, I start. But Jared Klein practically jumps me and smothers me with his mouth on my mouth. And his hands are someplace, too, and they seem to be trying to go someplace else. Fast. I shove him away. What the fuck? Now he backs off. Now he's back in his seat.
Annika?
He blinks a couple of times.
What is the problem?
What is the problem? I'm trying to talk to you, and it's like you don't care, and all you're trying to do is kiss me.
Okay, I do care. But also, yes, sue me. I know it's horrible, but I also, yes, do want to kiss you. 'Cause guess what? You're fucking hot.
Great. He leans back and folds his arms.
Oh, I know. What an insult.
Look, to be honest, I'm not interested. He looks at me like no one in his life has ever talked to him like this before.
Ever.
I'm sorry, I mutter. I think maybe I'm an idiot or something. He looks at me for about 1,000 years, and I'm plotting how I'm gonna get home after he kicks me out of the Jeep and the sun is starting to set. Early. Autumn time. And none of this is exactly how I had planned it. Not at all.
Wow. You're really... You're really kind of hard on yourself. You know that?
What?
And you're not an idiot, Annika. Not by far.
I'm pretty sure this means he's gonna start the car and drive me home and game over, right? But that's not what happens. Instead, Jared Klein says,
Are you a virgin?
What? Shut up! Why are you asking me that?
Silence.
I just thought, like, for now. Just wondering, I guess.
Well, even if I was, it's not like I'm gonna tell you.
Jesus! Okay, listen, I'm sorry. Seriously, I'm sorry about that. I'm just kind of thrown off by you or something. Like, I don't know how to act around you.
Well, join the club. I don't know how to act around anybody. He nods.
Clearly.
So, listen, here's the deal. There's 1,000,000 girls who are in love with you, and if you say jump, they'll say how high. But, like, I'm not one of those girls. So, if that's what you're looking for, I mean,
go get 'em. Be my guest.
Seriously,
have at it.
Now he's quiet.
Now he looks me right in the eyes. God, it's like Mick Jagger in the car looking at you or something. Mostly you could just faint from those eyes. Just swoon over and let someone find you in the ditch. I know you're not like all those girls. That's why I like you.
He sits there for a second, squinting down at the steering wheel. I have no idea if he's going to kick me out, attack me again, or turn into a taco at this point. I mean, this guy seems seriously conflicted. He smiles over. Not a convincing smile. A fake smile. Like when you're a little kid at Christmas and someone gives you socks.
Let's get you home. Okay?
It's a quiet ride back to Lincoln. Thank God he turns on the radio.
You like you two?
What?
Here.
He turns up the volume. All the way home, we're listening to Sunday, Bloody Sunday, and the sun is going down fast, and Jared is singing along like he just happens to be a rock star. Who is this guy? What does he want from me? I wonder. And why, in the passenger seat of Jared's car, can I not stop thinking about Logan, brooding, brilliant Logan, who always tells the truth, and whose heart I have shattered into a million pieces. 48. When I get home, my mom is acting weird. We're making meatloaf tonight, and I'm helping her. But my sisters are helping too, so my mom can't have the heart-to-heart with me I can tell she wants to have. I can tell my mom has something she wants to say, because she's acting real formal. She's acting like a person who's trying to act natural, so basically totally unnatural. After my sisters go downstairs, she turns to me.
Have you heard from Tiffany?
What? No. Why? She looks into the other room, nervous. You would think she was a member of the French Resistance acting like that.
What, Mom?
Well, honey, I got a phone call today. From Tiffany's mom,
and what?
And she's, well, she's missing.
What?
She says she hasn't seen her now for over 2 days.
Are you serious?
Yeah, honey, I am.
What the?
I know. It's just, she thought maybe you might know something.
What do you mean?
Well, she said that Tiffany had been acting strangely, and that when she asked her what was going on, she just smiled and said something about you and the Bunza Hut.
What?
Yeah, this is what she said. She said Tiffany said, why don't you ask Annika?
But what about the Bunza Hut?
I don't know. She just said something about the Bunza Hut and you. You don't have any idea where she is?
What?
No. Mom, no. I'm like freaked out.
I know, honey. Me too.
Now the ogre walks by, and we both pretend to dress the salad, but we're definitely not dressing the salad, because who cares about tomatoes and iceberg lettuce and ranch dressing when Tiffany is missing in action, and somehow it's my fault. 49. Pedaling fast, fast, fast. Keep going. Keep going. Never mind your legs numb from pedaling. Never mind your lungs hollowed out from breathing. And maybe it is all just a dream. And you can wish, and you can pray. But the cold on your cheeks and your heart pounding fast say it's not true. And this is real. And praying won't help. Not now. Not now. 50. The next morning, there's a giant red bouquet on our doorstep. It's so enormous, it's almost embarrassing. Mom brings it up to the dining room table, taking a look at the card.
Oh my, look at this!
My sisters and brothers all glance up from their eggs and bacon. You have to give it up for my mom. Eggs and bacon, or eggs and French toast, or sausage and waffles. I mean, she's not fooling around when it comes to breakfast. She means business. I wonder if Becky's mom pulls out all the stops for breakfast every day of the week, Monday through Sunday, 365 days a year. I know Shelley's doesn't. And if she did, she'd probably just make pancakes in the shape of Jesus.
They're for you, Annika.
And there they are, set on the table in front of everybody. God, this is mortifying. And then Lizzie leans in, just to make sure my cheeks sting and my face turns the shade of a lobster. That must have been some blowjob.
Shut up, God! You would know.
Oh, I could kill my sisters sometimes. It's like they live to torture me. Henry is the only decent one among them, and Robbie, but he's always at football practice.
Well, aren't you going to read the card, dear?
My mom didn't hear Lizzie's smart remark, or Lizzie to be sent to her room. It's a little pink envelope with a little pink card. Inside it says, Annika, I'm really sorry I kind of attacked you like a rabid dog. I'm an idiot. Jared. Well, it's kind of hard to be mad at him now, isn't it?
Henry's curious. Kind of like Spock.
Well, what does it say?
Lizzie chimes in again.
It says, thanks for the hot sex.
Lizzie, that's enough.
Thank God for Mom. If she weren't around, Lizzie would right now be shoving those roses right up my nose and out my earlobes.
I'm not kidding. The thing about Lizzie is, she may have this waif look going, but she's actually kind of strong. Like, she can whip my ass every time. It's annoying. She knows I live in fear. She's banking on it.
Henry's still looking, intrigued. Now it's my turn. It says, Dear Annika, I'm so sorry your older sisters are such sluts. Maybe if they had boobs, they would feel better. Now Lizzie is on me, and Nina is egging her on.
You little... Girls, girls!
Robbie is just looking on over his Fruit Loops and laughing.
Girl fight.
Now Lizzie has me pinned to the floor and is about to spit in my mouth.
Lizzie, if you don't get off your sister right now, you are grounded for 3 months. That's the holidays, too. Just you go ahead and try me.
Mom saves the day. Again, praise Jesus. Lizzie really had a ton of spit going there. I wish she'd just run off with a punk band already. Henry is still fixated on the flowers.
Henry tends to fixate.
Annika, does that even work? Do you like the flowers, or is it dumb? I dust myself off and take a seat between Henry and my mom.
It works if you like the guy.
And you do, right? You like the guy.
Henry tends to obsess.
What?
You like the guy.
Which guy?
The guy who sent you flowers. Duh.
But I'm not here now. These flowers are here, and Henry is here, and Mom is here, and this note from Jared is here. But I'm not anywhere near here. I'm in a magical land of make-believe.
There's no reason for it, and it makes no sense, but all I can do is stare out the back window and wish that somehow Logan would appear.
I wish he would appear and tell me how to take all the bad things out of him, but I can't. I can't erase all those slaps and bruises, and God knows what else that his father gave him. No one can. And the worst part is, none of that is Logan's fault. That bad piece of him, that bad piece got given to him like dirt-colored hair and alabaster skin. So, you see, that makes me a horrible person, maybe even the worst person ever, for answering Henry's question.
Yeah, of course I like him.
51. School is a completely different place now. Before, it was something to endure, something to not screw up. Not anymore. Now that I'm Jared Klein's girlfriend and everybody knows it, school has become like this place for me to go and be worshipped. It's kind of freaky. It's still me over here. I'm still the same, but now everyone is acting like they better be nice to me or I'll have their heads chopped off. Seriously, like one false move and I'll send them to walk the plank.
Jenny Schnittgrund invited me to go tanning with her. She has a free pass and was wondering if I could go, like, if I was into it.
Charlie Russell wants to know if I want to come out to his family's ranch and go riding. They have a couple of horses and it's really fun because the horses are really easy to ride. Maybe I could bring Jared? And the Pep Squad girls are basically following me around,
like I have my own personal pep squad. Give me an A. Give me an N. Give me an IKA. What's that spell? Annika. Annika. Go, Annika. Not literally, of course, but seriously. The only one normal is Shelley. Shelley is the only person at this school who is acting exactly the same as she was before. Thank God. I couldn't take it if she started acting differently. I think I'd have to give up on humanity entirely then, throw my hands in the air, and ask God to hurry up with the apocalypse already. Becky keeps trying to elbow Shelley out of the way in order to be my new BFF. So far this morning, she's offered to have me over after school, have a sleepover Friday, and go together to Chip Ryder's homecoming party, which is basically the place to be for homecoming. Never mind that I've only been to her house like twice. She's never even uttered the word sleepover, and usually is one of the hosts of that homecoming party. It's okay, Becky. I forgive you. It's not your fault you were born with the inner cortex of a velociraptor. Yes, somehow the keys to the kingdom have landed on my lap, and now the whole school is acting like I'm Princess Leia or something. Just to make sure I didn't wake up in a parallel universe, I duck into the bathroom, where Stacy Nolan is fixing her makeup. When she sees me, she drops her lip liner in the sink. Is it true? Is what true? That you're Jared Klein's girlfriend? I think so. Whoa, that's crazy. I know, right? But now Becky and Shelley make their way in to find me, and Becky starts in on Stacy. Hey, Stacy, have any babies lately? Stacy looks at me for help. She was never even pregnant, remember? That's the best I can do on the fly. But Becky's not letting this go. She's just sharpening her knives. Oh, right. Who would want to fuck her? And now Stacy's gonna have to redo her eyeliner because her eyes are starting to well up. Shelley ducks out, not wanting to deal with any of this. And honestly, I wish I could duck out, too. Seriously? Like, what's the point? I ask. And now Becky turns on me. What? I mean, what's the point? You got what you wanted. She's in tears now. I mean, just, can't you just leave it alone? Wow, I guess someone's getting too big for her britches. And I know it's coming. I know it is. Here it is. Immigrant. She says it like a curse. Stacy's given up on her makeup now. Shelley's peeking in from the hall. This is not good. Look, all I'm saying is, sometimes these things you say hurt people, like, a lot more than you think, okay? Ugh, that didn't come out right. And now Becky looks at me. Her eyes turn into two little slits, and I can tell she's plotting her attack. I'm so dead now. Stone-cold silence. And then, out of nowhere, Becky lets out a laugh. But it's not a funny laugh, and it's not a happy laugh. It's a laugh with daggers in it. So you're like Mother Teresa now? She walks out of the bathroom, swiping Shelley out of the way, right before the bell. 52. I don't want Jared Klein to pick me up from school today, even though that means I'm crazy because everybody worships him, and he sent me the largest flower bouquet in history. I don't know what I want, but it's not to get driven out to God knows where and have him slobber all over me, apologize, and then ask if I'm a virgin. That's for sure. There's an open patch in the chain link off the track field that some Heshers ripped apart so they could go out and smoke during gym. After seventh period, I make a beeline to the bathroom and duck out the back. Not even Shelley sees me. I can look out by the side of the school and see Jared in his trucker hat, parked in front. Becky and Shelley are standing there, and everybody looks slightly confused. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I am. That's the deal. But I just can't. I just don't want to be in that position, like ever. Out in the middle of nowhere with nowhere to go, and completely at the mercy of someone who, quite frankly, I don't trust. Or do you trust? Or maybe trust a little? Sure, last time he just jumped me and then turned around and gave me flowers. But what's he going to do next time? Rape me? And then turn around and ask me to marry him? I mean, the guy's kind of like a loose cannon. I know. Without him, I'm screwed. Now that Becky has it out for me, without Jared Klein, I'm dead. Like, over. Switch schools, over. Even Shelley won't be able to save me. She'll have to save herself. And she will. I know it. I don't hold it against her or anything. All's fair in the mean streets of 10th grade. Ducking out from behind the track field, I feel a sense of exhilaration, even though I'm probably blowing it big time. Something about leaving Jared, Becky, and everybody else just waiting there at the altar feels like that song John Lennon made with that Asian chick when he left the Beatles. I'm about 5 blocks down the street toward my house, a different route than Shelley and I take, 'cause right now, I just want to be alone. And this is when I hear it. Logan's moped. I'd know that sound in my sleep. He's coming past me fast, and he stops at the curb and takes off his helmet. We both just stand there looking at each other. There's 1,000 miles in between us, but also it's kind of like an electromagnetic field you could power a city with. Jared Klein, huh? I should have known. Look, Logan, I don't know. Look, just here. I was gonna give this to you the other night. Just take it. He hands me a piece of paper, folded up into a triangle. We catch eyes, and it's like getting punched in the gut. Every single part of me wants to get on that moped with him and ride off into the sunset. But that's like a world that doesn't exist anymore, with rainbows and unicorns and fairy dust. He's just about to put on his helmet and ride off. Hey, wait! He stops. How are you? How's your dad? How are your kid brothers? He looks at me like I might as well be wearing a dunce cap. You really want to know? Yeah. My dad's weird. Like, really weird. My brothers are cute. And my mom's a drunk. And with that, he puts on his helmet and rides off over the hill, past the skinny, freezing trees. There's no way I can wait till I get home to read this. I open up the little triangle, and inside, across the top, a haiku. Then underneath is the haiku, 5-7-5. This is what it says. Ceaseless. Almost too much for this small frame. You make me part of the sky. 53. At dinner, all I can do is think about Logan. I've got that crazily beautiful haiku playing over and over in my head on repeat. Ceaseless. Almost too much for this small frame. You make me part of the sky. Ceaseless. Almost too much for this small frame. You make me part of the sky. Over and over again on repeat, and everybody around me, Lizzie, Nina, Robbie, Henry, Mom, the ogre, are just sitting there eating their mashed potatoes as if everything's great and the world is not ending, and it's all I can do not to pick up the bowl of mashed potatoes and throw it across the room. Jesus Christ, did I make the wrong decision? Did I make the wrong decision? Did I make the wrong decision? Ceaseless, almost too much for this small frame. You make me part of the sky. Fuck. It doesn't help that right smack dab in the middle of the table are those goddamn flowers. My mom is the only one to notice that I'm basically going insane. She keeps trying to catch my eye, and I keep avoiding it. She knows me. She can read my thoughts like a Jedi. But I avoid her. And after dinner, I avoid her some more. I duck into my room, where I take the piece of paper out and look at it again. Here's the equation, pure and simple. If I break up with Jared Klein, I am dead. Dead to Becky, dead to Shelley, dead to Pound High, and everybody in it. Becky will make my life worse than hell. She will make my life Oklahoma. She will go after me worse than Shelley, worse than Stacy Nolan, worse than Joel Soren. If I stay with Jared Klein, even though I'm not sure if he's full of shit or the greatest thing ever, none of that will happen. I will rule the school for the rest of my career there, and maybe even beyond. The problem is, Jared Klein may actually be the scam artist everyone says he is. A really good one, who is just really, really convincing. And then, once he convinces me to fall totally, completely, 100% in love with him and gets me to bone him, he'll dump me like an old bag of Fritos. And then there's Logan. Logan is a sideways, brilliant, honest guy who does the coolest stuff ever and everybody hates, but who I am basically in love with. But Logan is damaged, broken, and let's not sugarcoat it. That ain't gonna change. Even though it isn't his fault, even though his shitty father caused it, even though it's not fair, that kind of thing cuts deep. That kind of thing sticks. Wouldn't a good person stick with him? Wouldn't a good person try to help somehow? Dear Lord above, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Yes, I'm on my knees now, praying. Don't judge me, and don't call me a weirdo. The fact is, I need help, and I need it fast, because I feel like I'm gonna pull my hair out in pieces and tear my skin off my face. I am such a shitty person. I'm an idiot. I am lost. Dear Lord above, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. My mom is knocking on my door, has been knocking on my door, but I'm not hearing. Finally, she peeks in. Honey, your friend Jared's on the phone. Oh, God, not now. Tell him I'm dead. Honey, I don't know, Mom. Tell him I'm asleep or something. Annika, it's 6 o'clock. Mom, just make something up. Please? Okay, but you want to tell me what's wrong? No, Mom, I'm just tired or something. She looks at me, and I can tell she wants to make it better, just like every time she's made it better since I was born. Crying, make it better. Colic, make it better. Got a boo-boo? Make it better. Scraped my knee? Make it better. And there are a million things my mom could do and has done to make it better, but none of those things will reach up under my skin and make me a different person. None of those things will reach up under my skin and make me good. 54. The next day I wake up with a 100